We're going to start fresh. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Shimla tefilasi Hashem v'shavasi hazina el demasi al techarash ki.
We should have learned this before.
No, Adarabba. You learn after Yom Kippur because now that you've already given forth your tefillah and you've already produced your tears, now is when it has to work. Now is the time when in Shemaim it goes to bat for you.
It was her brother who said that people should do tshuva from Yom Kippur to Rosh Hashanah.
Absolutely. I want to talk about that after now, second part of the shir. Which means that after Yom Kippur, ain't over yet. After Yom Kippur, they're still making edits. And Shemaim Begra says this. What? Oh, that's another level. There are many madrigas. Look, the tzaddikim gemurim. Chanukah. Some go until Chanukah. Then some go and some then you know other nidan b'chol yom. Okay, we'll talk about this later on. Let's just read over here some hakdama to our second part of the shir. Shema sefilasi Hashem b'shavasi hazina. This is mamish perfect for this week's parsha. Hazinu hashamayim v'adabera v'sishmaret zimrefi. You learned it today. Today, this morning, Thursday. So Hazina, and then there is Shema, v'sishma. Here we have the same exact two words, but in reverse. It says first for Shema, sifilasi Hashem, listen to my prayer. V'shavasi, and my shavasi, my cry. Hazina, hearken. A'el demasi, to my tears. Al techarash, do not be silent. Ki, ger anochi mach, I am a sojourner with you. Utoishav, I am a dweller, kichol avoisoi. Next pasuk, we're going to go through very carefully. But hasha mimeni va'av liga. Hasha means to turn or remove. Hasha means to turn away. Turn, take away from me. Va'av liga. What is va'av liga? Va'eschazek. Va'eschazek, I will be strong. Okay, so we're going to explain this. We're going to see this soon. Good morning, Ablazer. How are you? Well, regards here from Mayor or Gemar Toiv. A good kvittel. I don't know what you're supposed to say today. All these things.
A
good kvittel. What's a kvittel?
A kvittel is a pizza.
Is what?
What you give to a rabbi, a chassidim.
Chassidim say good kvittel. A kvittel. Everyone says, in America, everyone's a chassid, a litvak, a svardi. It's all the same. America is the grossest melting pot. Everyone borrows from each other. So what does it mean, a kvittel? Really, you give a rebbe a kvittel? A piskum, a note? So what does that mean? It means that
because you have a note, your note is going to be signed on a shahrab.
So you're ready, you mean the expression, good kvittel, you're planning for a shahrab. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you said chassidus. Then you said a gemar chassidus.
Okay.
And now you got to go till a shahrab.
Get it certified.
Get it certified.
Kvittel. Okay, so I never knew that. The kvittel, he's saying, when you say a good kvittel after Yom Kippur, it's in preparation for Hashana Rabba. Interesting. Okay. I'm not familiar with this. It's a little bit awkward. A good yar, a good year.
You say Leila?
No, over. No more Leila. Stay right here in this world. No more le'ela le'ela. Okay, we'll talk about some of these things later. Let's learn over here. This pasuk of Avliga means I should be strong before I disappear and I cease to exist. What do these two pasukim mean? Let's see what it says in the Mitzudah Stavid and pasuk Yud Gimel Yudal in the Mitzudah Stavid. Yud Gimel, it says Yeshiva Tivlasi Lahatzilein Mino Inish Noila, save me from these punishments. Okay, we turn now to page 360. Kiger Hoyisi. I am a sojourner. What does that mean? Lomul shenoisecha ani kigera pnei hodama ki me'at yomayu panichlu batoi chokhoi so'ela. David is saying, according to the Mitzvah Stavid, it's an amazing idea that man is only around in this world for a very short time, relative to Hashem, that is infinite. So man, relative to Hashem, is a ger. It's very interesting. You know, you would think that man is not even a ger. A ger at least means you have an existence, you exist. Epis, you have something. How could a person say that he's a ger to Hashem? We say about Kadosh Baruch Hu, time by Hashem is infinite, beyond infinite. man, what does man live? So if he's lucky, he makes it to 70, 80, 90, 100, 120. It's nothing, it's a speck of dust. Yet David says that my life has significance. I'm a ger, although I'm a nothing relative to your infinite nature of time, but I'm a ger anochi moch lemul shenoy secha anichi ger al pnei hodama ki ma'at yamai, my days are short, and I'm afraid that I may wither away in the musr that you bring upon me. Next words, what does that mean? This that I have some degree of being a toishav, a resident, it is. They were toshavim and they died. So what can I expect for myself? So interesting how it's very interesting how we learn Pshat Omir, it's possible that David is saying about himself, I can be called a toshav, a resident, because my years are equal or similar to the years of my parents. But with regard to you, Hashem, who are infinite, I'm nothing more than a ger. I, you were here before me, and you will be here after me. So you're a ger. My parents, I guess he's saying is everything goes according to plan. I'm going to be around after they're no longer here. Okay, that's why you don't say that, you know, there's a pasuk v'lo sosifu, we said this in the Haftarah of Rosh Hashanah, v'lo sosifu l'da'avot. You should no longer have any da'ava. Da'ava means any pain. So people make a mistake, they don't know this, that you're not, people for some reason, I don't know why, there's a need that when you go to a base oval, it's not enough to say hamokam yinachem eschem. There's a need to say more. After hamokam yinachem eschem, besoch shor aveli tzedev yishalayim, people say, Shav Simchus, I do the same thing. Simchus, and you say this, you say that. And then you hear some people say, Vlo so sinful Dava Od. Who first of all
but.
Oh, I'm gonna come down a second, First thing is, whoever, I don't know where I once heard someone complain about this, and I don't know the answer, and I don't mean to be critical because Hanachlachem Li Yisrael im Enem Nevi Bene Neviim. For some reason people feel that's not enough. It's not enough to say I'm not gonna have to miss
them. I don't know where either, but it is brought down, and there's a reason and when.
To say more.
To say that.
Okay, so
it's only said,
only someone who lost the second parent.
Correct.
A person who lost only one parent. So if you're gonna say to him that lo sosifu l'da'ava od,
means you're gonna die before your
kids. He's gonna die before his parents.
Before
the second parents.
Who does it say that? Not that Gabriel brings it?
Everyone brings it. You're not supposed to say to a person who lost only one parent, who has a living parent, because if he's taka going to be fulfilled.
I don't agree with that, because if you believe in, you say Ani Mama every day, so then
Tchias Amesim.
It won't happen.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. Interesting. Very interesting what you're saying.
That's not the normal.
I'm not
Dark
the
way,
not normal.
Way the world is parents die before the kids, and that's
what. So it's like a curse. It's a curse to say that that you will not suffer anymore. The only way you're not going to suffer anymore is that if you die before your parent dies. So therefore, only when a person loses a second parent. I give you another example. Someone once said, "Shalom is an incredible thing." Was it Rav Yashiv or Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach? I always mix up those two for some reason. I think maybe Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach. Someone asked him for a bracha, and he said, "Give me a bracha. What kind of bracha do you want?" The guy had a chutzpah to say to him, "Give me a bracha that I should be the Gadol Hadar." Must have been mayor.
So he gave him a bracha.
Give me a bracha, I shall be the Golada. So the way his story is written up, where did I see this? I don't know. I don't remember where I saw this. He was very disturbed, and he said to him, Chas v'shalom, Chas v'shalom. So I said, why? If you're the Golada Hadar, that means everyone in Klal Yisrael is lower than you. If you're the Golada, that every single person in Klal Yisrael will be a katan to you. If you're the gadol,
right.
There's no such thing as a gadol unless there is a katan. Okay, yeah, that a gadol means that you're on top. Well, you want me to curse the whole Klal Yisrael? That they should be subordinate to you. They should be beneath you. No matter how great you are, that automatically means everyone in Klal Yisrael is limited to come to your goddess.
But he was called
the
gadol.
What?
But he was called the gadol.
He didn't call himself the gadol. People called him the gadol. He didn't. You think Eli people called the gadol? I have no doubt. They didn't go for this. They couldn't. They hated this. They were the real deal. Sarata, the Chaim Kanias. Who made up that term? We had a whole discussion. Who gave us that term? The Sarata.
Nobody wants to admit.
Sarta, and then I.
Well, the Zalman's Mat Saver only says he was a Rosh Yeshiva. That's all it says. There's nothing else.
Okay, nothing else. I once had a discussion with someone writing a Mat Saver, and the question was it Mat Saver? Could it be Mat Saver? So the question was Harav Hagoyin. It was a novel to learn all the standard nuschayos today in Eretz Yisrael. So it's a vadi Rav Hagoyin. Today for the Gedolei Yisrael, they write. What do they write? I used to know this in my sleep.
Rav Hagoyin.
They write Harav. No, there's a whole protocol. I forgot the whole thing. I can't. I don't know now. There's a protocol what they do today in Eretz Yisrael to distinguish between certain types of people. So I said, what are you talking about? Look at this person. He died about 35 years.
Mara.
No, Mara. Not Mara. Not even Mara. There's another word. Okay, I don't remember this moment. There's another word they add in the beginning. To us Americans, it doesn't sound like very much. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's a unique... In the last number of years, it became like a certain protocol. So I asked, what are you talking about? He says, you don't understand. I said, this person who died 35 years ago, here's a picture of his matzeva. All it says there is Harav Hagoyin. It doesn't say this other thing. So he says to me, inflation. The generation has suffered from inflation. Just follow the rules. That's the way it is today, this inflation. And everyone today is Harav Hagoyin. Every 30-year-old kid today is Harav Hagoyin. And there has to be some term to distinguish the real, the men from the boys. So whatever, okay. But going back over here to this discussion, it says here that Ger Anochi Machtoshav Cholavosai, very, very fascinating. Over here, the Mitzvah Sava learns is that over here, the David Rechon said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kinege, my fathers, Yishai, and I guess he means his forefathers, Amatoshav. What does it mean, Toshav? So his understanding is I will be around. They will leave before me. I guess Alder Chateva. They will pass, and I will still be around. Memela, I'm called relative to my fathers, to my father, and my forefathers. A Toshav, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When I'm gone, you'll still be around. Memela, relative to you, Hashem, I'm a ger. Relative to Hashem, I'm a ger. I have arrived on the scene after you existed. Hashem existed forever, and I will leave, and you will be around. However, when it comes to my father, I arrived after my father, but I will leave after my father. So there's a different type of relationship in time connected my father and Hashem. Therefore, I'm a ger anochi imach. With regard to you, Hashem, I'm only a ger, but when it comes to my father, I'm a toyshav kechol avoysai. Again, this very, very interesting pasuk. Okay, over here in the Mitzvot Torah pasuk 360, Geir Nochi Imach L'mul Shnosach Ani Kegeir Achmir Adama Ki Ma'at Yomai My days are short. Can Yichlu B'Toychof Yisrael? I'm going to disappear. However, Toyshav Kechol Avosai Ritzoy Noy Loimar. So Kol Ma Shani Ketoyshav Baritz Hurak Kechol Avosai. This I'm called a toyshav, is only relative to my forefathers. Im shahoyu toyshavim, hinei mesu. Although they were toyshavim, they lived, they died. Ve'enam ulumul shit, but he repeats himself. Ulumul shnosecha, ayachay chashev ka toyshav. Okay, the next pasuk. Hashan meni, David es Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remove from me the tzar. Panei mimeni makas yotcha. Again, he makes a request, remove the makas yotcha. Ve'es chazek, the word va'avliga. Is this the same word as we say in Yirmiyah? Mavligisi? See, he would right away, Machol, he's into this. Mavligisi. Mavligisi, we say this word on Tisha B'Av. Mavligisi, it's a very unique trump. It has a meruch and a tipch in one word. You ever know a word that has two trumps? I'm not talking about the Pashta and the Zakif Katan. I'm talking about besides the Pashta, you have a word which has two traps. It's a very, very rare occurrence in Tanakh where you have two Ta'amei HaMikra on one word besides the Pashta and the Zakif Katan. The Zakif Katan is very common. You'll have in the Pashta at least a few of them. And let's say a few of them, you have one or two, sometimes more. But there's any other thing, you know, you have the famous ones. You have the famous one, there's one, you have to do backwards. Anyone remember? Baruch, you remember that there's a famous... Parashas, which Parashas in Shmini, and Tzav. Okay, maybe you'll come to me. There's one word in the Torah where there are two traps, and you have to do the two traps in reverse order, because it's impossible to do it.
To do it
in one order. Okay, what was the word? Maybe you'll come to me soon. But there's another word which is not done in order, and that is Mav Li Gisi. It's a Merachon Tibcha on Tisha B'Av. Is that the same word here? Ve'avliga. Could be it is. We have to see. Is it Minchashai over here? No. Okay, but Mavligisi, which means, according to the Mitzvah, it means Mechazek me. Strengthen me. We have to really find the etymology of this word, to find the shosh of this word. Okay, that concludes what it says over here. Let me finish it. Pasuk Yidal, the Mitzvah of it. Hashem many. And strengthen me in Teres Hashem. When the Yisudim, which hold me back and which trouble me, before I leave this world, before I die. After death, man becomes free from Torah.
So what exactly does avliga mean?
It means strengthen. In this context, it means to strengthen. What does it say over here in the Targum? Targum Pasuk Yedal, it says, Ashli Mimi, remove from me the Ezel. Ve'ezel.
Ve'ezel is to walk, yeah?
I don't know. I think it means to travel. Ve'ezel. Ve'ezel.
Kadma v'azla.
To go forward. Kadma to go, right. Kadma v'azla. Excellent. Kadma v'azla. You're right, it means to go. I don't know. I do not know. We have to look a little bit more in the first one. Maybe we'll come across in a few moments. But at least over here in the Mitzvah Sion, he says, Ve'avliga, ve'eschazek. Kimo hamavlik shod. Okay, to strengthen destruction and an intensification of Churban. Category 5 hurricane and an intensification. So in this context, it means strengthen me in good health. Before Eilech, I depart, V'eineni, and I no longer exist. Notice how we always speak about this concept, about death. It is an amazing insight into a culture as to the word that they choose to describe death. In America, America is a little more gentle. They say pass. What does it mean to pass? What is death? How do you define death? Is a very harsh word. They always say in the news, so-and-so, this big famous actor, politician, so-and-so, dead at the age of 87, 94. Right? Don't you hear that on the news? WINS, so-and-so's dead. Very, very stark. Make sure you nail the nails into the coffin with the best nails. You know, the best of the best. Don't just settle for any nails. It's a very stark word. A little more delicate, they say he passed. Here on the news sometimes, they're much more delicate, he passed. What does it mean he passed? It's a religious expression. L'chor, it's a religious expression that he has passed from this world to the next world. That's very nice. I think it's a very delicate thing to say. He passed.
He went over.
They say went over. You heard that?
Something
passed. I like that word very, very much. To me, it's a very delicate word. In Chazal, they say niftar. What does that mean? It means he's potter from the mitzvahs. He's exempt.
You say pass away.
Okay, they say pass away, or they pass.
Yeah, pass.
They say pass, well, it's very common the word pass. They say pass, so he passed away. He passed away. You hear that? He passed.
He went away.
Okay, right. It's a delicate expression, which doesn't mean that he's dead. Doesn't mean that he's dead. It means that he went somewhere else. He went to a better place. I think it's a refinement. On the other hand, Chazal.
If you don't believe in the other side, then it's.
You have to believe. You have to be a minor.
No, so the oxygen was a crude word. They're dead. They're expired. The milk is no good anymore.
What? The milk is.
No good anymore. They expired.
Expired. Right. You have that word. You have the word expired. So what does that mean? What does that mean, expired?
Very crude. It's very crude.
It's a crude word. Okay, Chazal have a very unique word, niftar. And over here, the Metzudas David is actually says it, because here we're talking about death. First of all, before you get to the farsh, look at David. What does David say? B'terem eleich, I go, v'eineni. I'm no longer here. What does that mean? It's a very interesting expression. What it says in the pasuk. Before you go to the farshan, let's look what it says in the pasuk. V'eineni. I'm not present. A good kvittel to Rav Menachem Sperling. Shalom Aleichem. How was the davening? Beautiful. We're upstairs or downstairs?
Every field was a different person. It was amazing. Downstairs.
Selga daven?
Huh?
Did Selga daven?
Ne'ila.
Selga daven, Ne'ila. Wow. Okay, you gotta tell me, you gotta give me the whole report, son. Who's Baal Musaf? Gershon
Wolk.
Who is he?
Menachem Wolk's son. Rabbi Rosenstein's grandson.
Was he there with Rosenstein?
No.
He didn't come to hear his grandson? If he would have come, he would have died. He wouldn't have it any other way.
Was the Rosh Yeshiva there? Is he well?
He wasn't there, no.
He's in the hospital.
Ooh, what's the matter?
His heart.
Ay.
Yeah.
Before Shalema. Before
Shalema. That's very critical.
I heard, yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, Malay.
You know his name?
Of course.
What's his name?
Aaron Moshe ben Rachel.
And Pinchas?
Pinchas Aaron ben Sarafega.
Pinchas Aaron Sarafega.
Yeah,
these are Mamash, two Rosh Yeshivas.
Yeah.
These are the two top.
Yes.
Two top of the line.
Rav Shechten, who's the other one?
A Pinchas Khan.
Pinchas Khan, oh.
So we should learn today for the Refuah Shlema of Aaron Moshe ben Rachel and Pinchas Aaron ben
Teva.
Refuah Shlema. Wow. Real very.
What a shtick, you know?
I was about by both of them.
Right.
Scary. Wow. All right. So here we have over here. So it says over here, what does it say over here? The Mitzvah Sabbath. In the Mitzudah Stavit, it says, Mitzudah Stavit, V'einenu, B'tem Eilech Ad Loi Eilech Dech Klaritz V'einenu. I don't exist, Oy B'zeh Ha'olam, in this world anymore. I don't exist in this world anymore. Ki Acher Hanisa, Nase Adam Chofshi Min Hatarim Umitzas. After death, a person is free. He's Chofshi. Okay, it's very interesting. You never heard someone say this person is chofshi, is dead. We're talking about different expressions. Different expressions have to describe death. So the common word that we use is niftar, which means he is potter. What is he potter from? He's potter from mitzvahs.
Isn't that the same as chofshi?
Yes. But you've never heard someone say the word chofshi. Chofshi is a little more delicate. Wouldn't you say it's more, what would you say is more delicate expression? Chofshi or potter?
Chofshi.
I would say chofshi, right? Chofshi. Potter means, it means like, you know, it almost sounds negative. Oh, I got rid of this one. I'm done with this. I'm exempt. It doesn't have a good flavor to it. Chofshi, I don't know, maybe not. No, I'm not even have to be fluent in the nuances of language.
Is there a requirement to learn?
No one came back to tell us.
I know. That's a question.
I don't know.
I always envisioned them sitting around and learning it all the time.
What do they do the whole day there? What do they do the whole day?
Oh,
We say they sit in the yeshiva shalmalos.
What does that mean exactly? What does that mean? How does it
sounds,
work? Their books.
Drinking another cup of coffee.
If I didn't have a book, I couldn't do anything. I can't learn. I don't have anything in my head. So I can learn.
Yeshiva shalmalos, no?
That's what does that mean exactly? It's the more you think about it, the more it's, I mean, the people are just, okay, fine, whatever. If you think about it very deeply, we are really, really fooling ourselves and thinking that we know anything that goes on in that world. In that world, first of all, there's no such thing as time. Hoya, hoya, v'yid. Okay, that's the mitzvah. The hoya, so what does that mean? It's not possible for a human being to relate to time, to relate to an absence of time. Hoya, that's impossible. What does it mean you learn, I mean, today, try to tell a person, put a person in solitary confinement, don't give them anything, don't give them a magazine, don't give them a book. You go to your mind. Now I'm showing your mind. Every person the average person has the ability to recall a photographic memory and just to start, you know, keeping his mind occupied. No, we don't know. We have to have emuna. The only way to get through this is just emuna pshuta zedin v'cheshven. There's something called nenen mitzvashchina. There's yeshiva shalmaila. Okay, all the things that Chazal tell us, the terms that they draw from this world to try to relate. And that's it. At the end of the day, when it comes to anything religious, you have to have emuna pshuta. That's the ikar yisod. The more you can go into the eichlers, and they'll have literally a whole bookcase of books, proof of God's existence. You know, it's all nice. But at the end of the day, it's not going to make a difference. You can sit and read all these books the whole day, proof of God's existence. The end of the day is, do you have a emuna or you don't have a emuna? These things, the people who have a emuna, it's a very nice chizuk, tremendous chizuk to read these svarim, and they open up your mind to incredible, incredible concepts. But if this is all you got, you're in a lot of trouble. It's not going to work. You have to have emuna. Shoot. How do you get emuna? So there are two things. Number one, you have to have emuna to have emuna. Reuchel Levavitz says this. It's Mori de Gevart. People have problems with emuna. You have to have emuna to have emuna. And the second thing that has been proven again and again and again and again is you learn Chumash Rashi. Chumash Rashi is supernatural magic. You spend time with Chumash Rashi, you will find yourself filled with emuna b'Hashem. How? Scientifically, doesn't make any sense. Chumash Rashi and emuna? Try it. Spend significant time mastering Chumash Rashi, and you will discover, all of a sudden, you think differently. Rashi was able magically to put into these words, the words that trigger in your mind, emuna b'Hashem. With his holy pen, and it's unbelievable. It's so true. And people who don't believe it, try it, and then have a conversation to really spend a lot of time. That's why I just
like putting the pieces together to get a whole picture. That's what you really get.
It's more than that. It is something supernatural. You learn Chumash and Rashi. Just Rashi somehow the way he explains the pasuk, reading the pasuk with Rashi, somehow. There's no words to explain how it works, why it works. And this is a technique that has been handed down by through tradition, that people, Rachmana Litzla, who struggle with Emunah, they should spend time learning Chumash and Rashi. It works. It just somehow works. It puts into a person Emunah. What's the reason? No one knows, but it works. This person where I daven with him, Mamshul covers daven with him on a Yom Neirav, Rabbi Daniel Bauman. Daniel Bauman, he works for the Aguda. He's a CPA, and he works very, very hard. He's a very hard worker. And he works for the Aguda. He has a lot of jobs. He works for the Aguda. And one thing he did, he had this Yetzer Sahara, right? It's the third year. He's concluding now the third year of Chumash Rashi Tests. Maybe you can look it up. ChumashRashiTests.com. And basically you sign up And it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I'm doing it now on only two parashiyos. So I'm not trying to brag here, but I want to maybe inspire someone here to do it. Maybe Mary's going to do it this year. Chumash Rashi tests, only two parashiyos left. Okay, and basically you get an email mitzvah Shabbos, and you have until 10 o'clock, till 10 o'clock Sunday morning. Go on. It's basically email. Okay, it's basically an email, and it's 15 multiple choice questions.
It's not hard.
It's not easy. I wouldn't say it's easy, but it's not super hard. It's not super hard. They're questions that are chokhmah questions. They're clever questions, and if you learn the Chumash Rashi, well, you'll get not 100. you'll get a 90. A 90, a 95, there's an extra credit question. You'll score well. It doesn't take you more than 5-10 minutes to do.
Is it open book?
No, it's closed book. Closed book.
They don't tell you afterwards why you were right or wrong?
You get the answers. You write that at the Sunday at 12 o'clock, you get your score, your grade, and you get all the answers. And many times, there are people, they say, oh, that's not fair, the question, as I. So they end up giving you credit even in certain types of trick questions, not trick questions. They're not meant to be easy, just to be a joke. It should be something serious. And I'm telling you, it changed my life. These exams. It's really, you go into Shabbos, you know Chumash Rashi. There's nothing like Chumash Rashi. And he gives, I think, you know what his budget is? $500,000. He has to schnorr. He's not a collector. This guy is the last guy in the world that you would think would go collecting money. And I don't know how he does it. He raised $500,000. Would you believe it?
What's the money?
There's a stipend if you get a...
What?
What does he need money for?
Because he wants to make it chashev. I spoke to him a very long discussion with him. He wants to make it chashev. He holds that if just going to be for free, if he's not going to give people money, it's not chashev. He feels very, very strong that in order to give it chashivos, if he doesn't give a lot of money, he gives you $100 for a chumash. It's $500 a whole year. A person gets over an 80, every single exam will get $500. $100 a chumash. And of course, you know, they give you the option, oh, don't take the money, give the money back to someone else to join. Make you feel a little bit guilty, right? They make you feel a little bit guilty. His brother-in-law, one of his sponsors, so I once did that, even though I can very much use the money. So his brother said to me, you're a tippish. you take the money. They're giving you money, you take it, you tippish. You go and you write there, you click. After each chumash, you can give back the money, someone else can join. What a tippish. You take. I'm the sponsor for this money. You take the money. Okay, but it's fascinating. It really is fascinating. I know I've been begging him to do the same thing for the Daf Yomi. Okay, Daf Yomi. And also he told me he's walking on what do they call it? Eggshells, because he works for the Aguda. He works for the Aguda. And the Aguda, he doesn't wanna, you know, Aguda is very proud of what they do. And one of their own people who works for them, and you know, is making a program like this, and you know, big program, and it's not part of the whatever, you know, a little politics here and there, and then he's really on the verge of doing for Daf Yomi the same thing, even though there are Dirshu exams, but Dirshu exams are very different because Dirshu exams once in 30 days, which you lose track. If you miss a daf, you finish. Once you start falling behind, you're done. And they're hard. They're much. I mean, it's hard. Not very hard. And you have to go to a testing center, and you have to sit and scribble for over an hour. And let's say you have only a 2-hour window to take your exam. And let's say you have a wedding that night, or you have something that night. This once a week by email, multiple choice, making it very easy. It would be such a benefit for so many people. Such a benefit to have that push. So you know, also the other sense of it is the social concept behind this. You go to shul,
and a couple of guys in the shul, they all take the exam. I daven, there are a few people, because this is where, you know, this is the headquarters. the person he davens here, and the person who makes the exam, he comes around once in a while, and it's the nerve center. So the people where I daven, many of them, they take the exam. So what did you get on the exam? Oh, you take it. Oh, there's a certain, you need to have a social, that's what really creates.
A push.
The social, if you didn't take, you're embarrassed. Like, you want to come and brag, ha, ha, ha. Oh, what did you get? Oh. There's something to it. We talk shaloy lishma, bol lishma. It is a reality. Money helps. Busha helps. Social pressure helps. It's a real, real reality of a social. What is a shul today? A shul is a club. If there was absolutely no social interaction, the Beis HaKnesses, many people wouldn't come to shul. They wish wouldn't come to shul. They would stay and wanted to come to shul today. They say they go. Okay, you have food in shul. You go to a shul. You have a shtibul. There's food. Not all rabbanim are in such big favor of to stop the talking during davening. Mm-hmm. They feel they. I'm not joking. It sounds
big social element.
They feel like, you know, better talk during davening, and every once in a while we'll scream a little bit. People, there is an incredible benefit. This people don't realize how deep it goes. It's incredibly deep. It's subconscious. How deep it goes, the social element of having, being part of a community, being part of a tzibur. And it makes, and you know, that's why if it gets too big, you lose it also. It's one thing, you know, you're part of a small group. If it's too small, it's no. Because you need a little space. If it's too big, it's also no good. It's like you lose your identity. So, like you're just a number.
I see people in shul, elderly people, this is their only contact with other
that's
people.
Right. That's right.
And then they talk and computer.
That's right. There are a lot of people who are on medication for mental illness, and they go to these doctors, and they treat them like they goyim, they have done nothing. People who are Rahman al-Islam, like the goyim who have mental issues, they stay on the whole day. They watch television the whole day, they have no social interaction, and it just makes the condition worse and worse. And they don't realize that from people, they go to shul 3 times a day, and they're incredible social, so they start treating from people like they treat, they send them to this psychologist, to this psychologist. They don't need it. They already have more social interaction than every non-Jewish patient they've ever had. And now by sending them to some of these psychologists to talk, it only causes them harm because they're not religious, they don't really understand, and it's extremely expensive, and they don't really need it. It's not necessarily a benefit. Okay, in any event, we're getting sidetracked, but I'm happy with this, telling you this information, because I encourage you to try it out. ChumashRashiTest.com. Check it out. So we got into this over here, the word chavshi. Okay, the term chavshi and verse the word potter, exempt. Okay, the common way that it's described is to be is you're exempt. Chavshi min hamitzvahs. That's what it says in Chazal. And over here, the Mitzvah stuff, it actually says chavshi mitzvah. And over here, the words of the pasuk are b'terem eilech, before I go, v'eineni, I am no longer. Present. That's the way it says it in the pasuk. That's how David HaMelech describes death. He doesn't say moves. He doesn't say shachas. He doesn't say sheol. He doesn't say gan eden. He doesn't say the ilum ha'emes. He doesn't say the yeshiva shalmaila. There's probably no concept in this world.
He's not telling you where he's going afterward.
No one knows where they're going after.
No.
There's probably no concept in this world that has more expressions, more words than what we call death. Every single country, in Yiddish, the only way you say by a goy, someone wants to listen, by a goy you say pega, and by a yid you say
nifta.
So pega means like a corpse. It means like a dead animal. Dead animal, what happens to a dead animal? I don't know, no one really knows.
Pick it up in the garbage can.
You put it in the garbage, what happens to the life force? The life force of a dead animal. Where does it go? I don't know. No, the animals, the koyach of life of an animal comes from the ground. So it comes from the ground and goes back to the ground. There's no bechir by animals, luchar or not. There's no free will. Is there reward and punishment? Is there hashkach or pratis? These are all questions which the Gedolei Yisrael have been grappling with for centuries. How does all this work?
Rabbi, in Yiddish it was used to say starb.
Starb. So what is it? By a Jew, by a guy? Starb by a guy?
No,
by a Jew. So what does it mean in English, gestarben? Pegger, pagan. What does gestarben mean?
That's a crude way.
It's a crude way?
It's avek.
You see, there are so many different expressions. Even in Yiddish, in English, in every culture. Every culture.
That is a shvige.
What did you say?
You went to visit a shvige.
No,
he went to visit a shvigger. Mayor Appeldorf's definition of death. He went to visit a shvigger.
Oh, that's Gehenna.
That's what I said.
Okay, very, very funny.
It's true of things that are sensitive or...
religious.
Or not... things that are not openly discussed.
Right. Not science.
Plainly discussed. No, certain things... And so there are pseudonyms right. Like crazy for both.
Look, to go to the Beis Hakisei.
Well,
how do you describe, I'm sure in every single...
I can give you examples, but... You know.
Every language, the term of going to the restroom,
yeah,
the men's room.
That's the example.
Okay, the lavatory.
Library.
The facility. The library.
Oh,
the library.
The
facilities. Okay.
The base.
Oh, sorry?
The base.
The base?
The basement.
The
shelf.
Okay, my favorite term above and beyond all of them is what Rav Shadwan. What he says, where is the room without the mezuzah? Isn't that brilliant?
I mean, there are
okay, I thought that's just brilliant.
They used to say,
where's
the 0-0?
Yeah.
The 0-0. FSFS? Why is that called the base, like you say?
Because
that's
sign
on the wall.
The bathroom was 2-0.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because they never filled in the male or the female on it, so it just was 0-0.
Unbelievable. Live and learn. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi, possibly Mr. Psukim. Rashi, these two Psukim, Shiva, the last one, welcome, and Machol, a good kvittel. Gemara Toiv with kvittel.
Yeah, thank you. No, my daughter just came to pick up her
sukkah. Okay, I saw yesterday they have a very unique minhag in Or Yitzchak, a very unique minhag where Davin. I asked one of the Rosh Hashivas, what in the world is this all about? During the Elah, there's the person who buys an Elah. They sell Ni'ilah, psicha for Ni'ilah, for her hoin raf, a fortune of money. And the person who gets Ni'ilah, what he does is that towards the end of Ni'ilah, he goes around the shul and he's mechabit people to go up to the Aroin and stand mamish in front of the Aroin. Like a stage. And then there are streams of people that go there for part of Ni'ilah. And some of them are so excited, they mamish, they put their head into the aron. They put their head and they sit there and they shuckle and daven.
You don't have to kick back?
What?
You gotta pay the fortune for it.
The person who buys it to have the covet of telling the people, no, there's no kicking out to give anything.
The younger Jew apostles did it automatically. The gabbai would go around and send people up. And they would rotate the whole meal.
Really? They would go and they would stand in front of the Aron HaKodesh?
Yeah, and they stand up a couple of minutes and someone else would come up, take their place. And
wow, very interesting. How could they do this? There's such a car for this. Because I guess he told me there is no. I asked the guy, one of the Russians.
I think the high school, the Yeshiva Flux High School also.
They also did this. He told me, as far as he knows, there is no Mikar. Many years ago, a guy got so excited about it, and he just started doing this. And no one stopped him, so it became a thing. It became an in house thing, and as far as he knows, there's no Mikar for such a thing.
Someone's paying
for
the cover to give it to everyone instead of the shul doing it.
Right, the person. So, but they stand there and they go up there. It's like it definitely adds to the intensity where people, they know they come up, a few, you've seen a few people. So Rabbi Chol, I saw Shragi. Your Shragi was what?
Shlakolenu and Shira Malo?
No, that's you open up. That's one thing. You open up your own Kodesh. You open up your own Kodesh.
But a whole big thing. A kibbutz, you go up.
Right, but that's standard.
Because you go up.
That's standard. You're doing a maisa. You're opening the Olam. Here, you're opening nothing. You're just going there and you're standing there and you're shuckling.
Standing
up. And you put your hand in the Aron HaKodesh. So, Rabbi Chol, I'm telling you, I saw yesterday your grandson, Shragi,
yeah.
He's 12 years old. He's bar mitzvah exactly 1 year from now, Parash Tazinu. They were machaved him. He was there by the Ila. He was there standing stark by the Aron HaKodesh. It was very beautiful.
Nice.
Very, very nice. Okay, so here the only Mekar I can tell you for this is Rabbi Trenk. This blew my mind. I told this to you once. It really, really blew my mind. The Arshul published a biography of Rabbi Trenk.
Mm-hmm.
He died about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. He was a rabbi of a shul in Lakewood. He was a very passionate, extremely passionate, charismatic rabbi. He died tragically very young. When they built his shul, he instructed that the shul, basically, when you open Aron Kodesh today, you know what it looks like, even over here? It looks like inside Aron HaKodesh you have terrorists in Guantanamo Bay. You have this big safe.
Rabbi Gissinger.
Okay? Today you go to Aron HaKodesh, what does it look like? It's big safe with this big clinks like you're in a jail. They open it up and you see the Sifrei Torah chained down like they're terrorists. Guantanamo Bay. What kind of nonsense is this? The Aron HaKodesh is like a prison door.
But it's also fireproof.
It's fireproof. I've had it. It's fireproof. I once looked the whole Chacham of Ohana. Fireproof and it's dangerous. So this is the way we live. Well, we don't have a choice. Big, 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 heavy door with a big wheel, some of them. And you open them up. Thick door, fireproof. And then you see the Sifrei Torah there. Oh, they're chained. Chained down like terrorists. Come on, let's run. So he said, this is ridiculous. This is how you treat a Sefer Torah. What is this? Ridiculous. He says, the Aron HaKodesh has the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael.
Oh.
Eretz Yisrael. So you know, in his shul, they built basically a walk-in Aron HaKodesh. French doors. I'm sure it was safe on the outside, but that was done before davening. Like Chaim Olin, they have also very good. They have these big, heavy safe doors, and then after the safe doors, then you see a beautiful Aron Kodesh with wood doors. You know, you don't see all the security, and then so in his shul, it's not just a separate. It's not just like, you know, a window. You walk in. You have to see the picture. We have it in the book. You walk in. There are French doors all the way down. You know, like you open up the doors, you walk in. There's a chandelier. It's a room. It's mamash a room. There's a chandelier. And there are beautiful shelves where the Sifrei Torah are resting very comfortably.
They're lying down?
No, they're not lying down. Yes, not allowed to do that. We pass them like Rashi. That's to stand straight, vertical, not horizontal.
It's velvet around it. It's nice.
It's,
there are a lot of children there.
A room where you can walk in?
Yeah, I've seen.
You walk in.
Around it. Yeah, they have
there's beautiful lighting. There's a chandelier.
Yeah.
There are beautiful woodwork and shelves on the city. They're not chained down. There are no chains that someone's in the car. It's not a jailbreak here to get the Sefer Torah out of the Aron Kodesh.
They're worried about an earthquake, that it'll fall.
It falls.
The reason why
it chains
with it. The reason why this changes is because if it's a smaller...
Right, because it's full of... I'm not advocating any change.
Dove, today they have shelves that have the holes pre-drilled.
Right. So yeah, they have many techniques.
You still need room.
Still
need room.
If you want to push...
Most shuls can't afford to do all these innovations.
Right.
There's no space. They don't have space. They don't have money. So if you build a chatzila, you got to see the pictures. It is magnificent. Magnificent. And it doesn't even take up so much space. It's a walk-in room. And when you open it, Olam sees the chandelier. And he says that Aron HaKodesh has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Ad Kidei Kach. This is what it says in the book. Read the book, Kissinger's book. People would come from all over when they had an Eis Sar Rachmana Litzlan to daven. And they went into the Aron HaKodesh to daven.
That same thing, now that you're putting it in that perspective, maybe it's not a place for you to walk in.
Why not?
I don't know. If there's that much Kedusha, Kodesh Kedushim, I didn't walk into either. I'm not comparing. Okay. I'm saying I can hear that you don't want it to be a walk-in.
Okay, all right, you know, it's a little bit of an extreme, you're saying. But this is how he has it in his shul. It's literally a room that you walk into. And it's beautiful, as the Sefer Torah deserves. Ad kidei kach, that people, right in the book, that people in Lakewood, or anywhere for that matter, when, let's say, they're going through something very important in life, and they want to dive into Hashem, they want to pour out their heart, so under ordinary circumstances, they would like to get on a plane and go to Eretz Yisrael, and go to the Kaisel, go to Gedolei Yisrael, go to Mekomos HaKadoshim, go to Beis HaKvaris. And they can't. They just don't, you know, they don't have the means, they don't have the logistics, don't work out. So what do? They go to his shul. They go to his shul, and they just walk into the Arunachal.
Just stick your head in.
No, not stick your head.
I'm saying, you know.
Not stick your head. It's a little awkward. It's a little awkward to stick your head in the Arunachal. It's awkward. It is. You want to go diving, you go and everyone is watching. You just, no one's watching, the parochus is closed. You just walk into the room, no one sees. They walk in.
They don't call it an Aron HaKodesh, but there's no reason.
A teva. In the Gemara, it's a teva. Teva box.
Exactly.
A box.
It's not a cheder.
I hear what you're saying. I can't defend the argument. I can't defend it. You're right. It says this in the book. It says this in the book. It is a room, a cheder, which has, he has a source, that the cheder, or the Aron, has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. And when you go, you'll tell me, oh, but every Beis HaKnesses has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, right? Okay, but it's a different, higher level. And people with mamash, they come, they go into the room to daven. It's a holy makom. So this minhag, we're talking about on Yom Kippur, the people by the Ely, telling them that it's a valid minhag, they did this in this Yeshiva Flatbush, and they did this in Flatbush, they do this other places. Obviously, this, and I never saw this. To me, it was the first, everything I used to, but the first time I saw this, I said, what in the world is going on here? You're saying that it really, it has a makar, and when you combine this with this, what our Gissinger, Sikhon Mabrocha, has in his shul, okay, you see the something to it.
Right. But it goes so wide with the Aron Kodesh, you're not supposed to put anything in there.
Of course,
and
right.
There's a in some shuls that come Simchas Torah, when they take out all the Sifrei Torah, they put in there.
There's a makar for that. There is a makar for that. They put a chomesh. You shouldn't leave it empty. You shouldn't leave an Aron HaKodesh that is Kedushas Aron HaKodesh empty.
Better to put a chomesh in there.
Maybe put a chomesh or put a chomesh or in there. That has a makar. That I can show you.
Because I saw it specifically. It's backwards. You should not put the Nerim.
You should not put the Nerim because it has no Kedusha. What a chomesh? A chomesh also is a Kedusha. Print the chomesh.
You don't want to leave it empty. I don't know what.
We have here the Gabbai, Safka. Let's hear from our Safka. What is it?
My rabbi is going to want to put a lamp.
He did. Zitzolz put a candle. This is a makar. I can show you makaris for this.
I think the Taz goes crazy, says he shouldn't do it.
Oh, the Taz. He's quoting all the makaris. The Taz says not to do it.
Yeah,
he says not to do it. But Rav Zitzolz, he did it.
The main meaning in the world is to put a lamp.
Okay, people do it, he says. People, I've seen this
done. They're doing it, but I saw the words written that it's...
The Taz, you saw the Taz. The Taz, he says, is very much against.
So now you're saying to walk into it, it bothers me even more.
To walk into it's a cheder. Okay, I hear. I can't defend.
Every time you hear stories where they open their kodesh and down in front of it, there's a goal inside. That's what you really hear.
That's the right.
And you've heard of people, they stuck their head in there.
Right.
It was a minhag, I think, in Europe that a woman who had trouble would walk right into the shul, go right up to the Aron Kodesh,
right,
and down by the Aron Kodesh.
Al Maregi, very hungry. You know, by hunger. He lives over here.
Yeah.
All the Sfarim over here, are his son's Sfarim, Shimon Hill. So he. I remember when I was in his class. He told us a story that I don't know if his parents told him. Is it in back? Where was it? I don't know where. In Poland somewhere probably. They used to love fighting because, you know, like it says in the Haftarah, you come to shul to fight. That's what it says in the Haftarah. It's a big wrestling match, the shul. So he says there was Erev Yom Kippur, no, Kol Nidre, a fight broke out in shul after Kol Nidre. That's mamish, a fight, a real nasty fights, screaming match, who knows, they were punching each other. And it was a beautiful shul, he's told us, and they had a balcony. The women were on top. And downstairs were very rich, you know, all these big mamish got into, you've seen this in shul, people love to let it out, okay, Yom Kippur night, they let it out. It was a nasty, nasty fight on the night of Yom Kippur after Kol Nidre. And there was such intensity of the fight, screaming, no one even noticed, a woman came down from the balcony, came into the shul, walked all the way up to the Aron HaKodesh, in front of the whole shul, opened the Aron HaKodesh, opened the doors, and said in Yiddish, I don't know the Yiddish, so it's in English, it says, Ribbono shel Olam, forgive them, they're all just a bunch of babies. Mm. And when she said that, everyone picked up their eyes, and they couldn't believe what they saw. They couldn't believe the Aron HaKodesh was open, and there was a woman standing there, and they all heard what she said. And a hush came over the whole shul. Yom Kippur story. Then he told us, another story where it was Erev Yom Kippur, right before Kol Nidre, and there were two people in shul who hated each other with a sinas mavis. They fought the whole Yamamash, Kain and Hevel. They hated. And all of a sudden, from one corner of the shul, Beryl, Michael. So it was Machel, Yosef, Michael, Machel, Kol Nidre. Okay? Fast forward 24 hours. Hashem Hu Elohim, Hashem Hu Elohim. The kid to Beryl, you Russia. Yosef, I'm going to kill you.
So that's not a fila, that's a truce.
Not bad. To have a truce one day a year is like murder the Gemayla for one day a year. Okay, who would do that today? Who would go the day before Yom Kippur and say, let's have time out. Just, I know people who hate each other big time. I really know myself, I have no problems. To time out for one day, that's a madrega. That's quite a madrega. No?
On that simple story with the Nair, I saw with my own eyes in one shul, it was a Shabbos simple story. And somebody just lost himself and he took the Nair from the Amrit. Oh,
wow. Wow, that's interesting.
It was like,
wait, Shabbos, what are you talking about? Impossible, there's no such thing. It cannot be. Shmini Atzeres, baby Shmini Atzeres.
Shmini
Atzeres. They have Hakafas, Hakafas Shmini Atzeres. Those who have Hakafas Shmini Atzeres. So then it can happen, right. Where I go, the rabbi, not in the different shul, in Tamp, where I go. So there, the rabbi, Mark, he very much from his mark, they have two neighbors before Hakafas. Each hakafa, there are two little boys, he gives a nair to two little boys, and they go in front. They walk backwards. They do hakafas
around
when they do hakafas. So in front of the Sefer Torah, there are two little boys, each one holding a nair, and walk backwards in front of the Sefer Torah.
Those are Sefer Torahs.
The torches
have the lapid.
They have the torches, the lapid. So this is the lapid. So this is a very dangerous thing. Rabbi Yossi told me he remembers this. He remembers this minhag in the shtibl when he grew up, and it was a girl that had this beautiful, beautiful little kid, long red hair, and her hair was torched because of this minhag. He saw it with his eyewitness. He saw that, who knows, that the boy had a candle, and sure enough, before you turn around, her hair was on fire.
But there was a minhag,
this girl.
I recall you had a
apple on the flag.
And
the apple on the flag.
And a candle in the eye.
All right, we wasted all this time. But let's take a short break. And I want to learn some yanim of Bein Rosh Hashanah, Liyom HaKippurim, and some halachas of Esrogim. And this year is Shemitah, and discuss some of the issues of getting an Esrog, Lulav, Hadas, and Aravos from Eretz Yisrael. We'll talk about this in a few moments.
That was good.